Good morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And if we can just sort of take a hand or a shoulder that doesn't belong to you as we go to our Father in prayer. We're grateful to be a part of his family, a part of his kingdom. And so in being so, it's nothing like being connected with one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be a part of your family, to be a part of your kingdom, to see you as our Father, to love you as our Lord, and to worship you as our Redeemer. We're grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ, your one and only Son that you gave to us. And through that blood, Father, we can be purified. We can be a part of your family. And as we go through the balance of this service, and the most important is when we take the bread, which represents Jesus Christ's body, and the blood represented by the cup that we will take. We're so grateful that you would give us an opportunity to remember the price that you paid for the love that you give us so freely, so readily. And Father, we ask that this morning that our hearts are open to hearing what you have to say to us. And I'm not praying, Lord, that anyone will remember what I say. I am asking that your words will be written on our hearts indelibly so that we will live them, we will breathe them, we will tell others of your glory that are in them. And may you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share something that has been on my heart now for a little while. But let me start off by asking a question. Have you ever used a word or a phrase that is commonly understood by family, by friends, or by the group that you spend a lot of time with, but no one else understood what was the meaning of that word or that phrase, or they didn't have a clear conception of what you were saying? Well, you know, growing up as a little kid, that could get you in trouble in a real hurry, particularly if someone thought that you were excluding them or that you they were being made fun of. They were probably feeling isolated and vulnerable, and it was all in no maliciousness. I've seen a lot of fights break out like that. What are you saying? Are you talking about me? Why is everybody else laughing? How come I don't know it? I'm sorry. That wasn't the intention. Let me give you an example. Among my circle of friends, someone may ask me ever so often, can I get you something to drink? Would you like something to drink? And those of you that know me quite well, I'll go, yes, bring me a Bud Light. Now, I don't even drink coffee. everyone knows that what I'm saying is, yes, I'll take a glass of water or a bottle of water. You can't get much lighter than water. And so we can get into things like that. If I were to ask you to describe who is an American, what does an American look like? What do they sound like? I think you'd probably be at a loss to describe definitively who an American is. There are so many different flavors, so many different sizes, so many different languages. You may say they are someone that's born in the United States. They could fit a lot of people and they not necessarily be an American. Well, we could say, well, they probably speak English, yeah, so do a lot of other people. And we haven't described an American as such. But today's lesson is be holy as I am holy. Turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Peter chapter 1, 13. We'll begin reading there in 13 and down through 25. Recently on Wednesdays, we've been reading and studying this book, The Good and Beautiful God by James Smith. And chapter 6 is on the whole subject of holiness. And I could, prior to this, and I'm not sure that I can do much better now, because the more that I read about holiness and being holy, the more I understand that I can only be holy through my relationship with God. And the more I see of God, the less I see of myself. And I don't think that I will be able to say at the conclusion of this life, whenever that is, that I really have a great understanding of who God is. And so if we start reading here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll start here in verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. And he goes on and he says, since you call on a Father who judges each person, work impartially. Live out your time as a foreigner here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the fields. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And in verse 14 there, if we go back to verse 14, what does it say? What does God tell us? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And you know, as I thought about that, God made us in his image. And I'm thinking, well, if God made us in his image, why didn't he just make us holy? And then what is holiness? I think just, that if God had made us complete and holy, we would have no need for him. I'm already holy, God. I'm already as perfect as I'm going to be. I am already excellent. So, what do I need to, why do I need you? And, you know, you might say, that's a very insolent way of looking at God. But I can tell you, in my insolent mind, I've thought of it. And so God says, be holy in all that you do. Be holy, why? Because I am holy. Now, the theme of all of this is, I can only be holy through my relationship with God. God makes me holy. Holiness is not something that I can do. I mean, have you ever been in a conversation and someone says to you, well, who do you think you are? Coming in here with that holier-than-thou attitude. And what they're really saying is, you're no better than I am. Who do you think you are? Well, we can't say that about God. God is excellent. There's nothing beyond God. God is supreme. He is set apart from everything else that we know. And he says, be holy that I am holy. And if you go back and you start at verse 1 in Peter there, it's amazing. If we look at the people of the culture of that time, most of them were poor. A lot of them were not very smart by today's standards. Some of them couldn't read. And they were scattered throughout these different provinces. In verse 1 there of chapter 1, it says, to God's elect, scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. But they all spoke the common language of Christ. They understood that common language. That's one of the things that makes us Americans. We speak a common language. And they all understood that even though I may not be holy, my God is holy. And I need to become like my God. They understood this language to live in reverent fear. Not just fear, not fear of their master. Many of them could have been slaves. Not fear of their boss. Not fear of the Roman Empire, but reverent fear. Reverent fear, honor, respect. I desire to become like you. I may not want to be a Roman. I may not like this job. I may not like the fact that I'm a slave and I fear my master because he's going to rip my back up, but here it's reverent fear. I fall down and give praise, honor, and worship to you because you are holy. My help comes from you. In dire straits and circumstances and situations, I can still rejoice because you live. If you look at verse 19 there, it says, the precious blood of Christ. Now, if you were living at this time, and even today, I would have difficulty if someone walked up to me and said, hey, Al, you know this person? They were dead and they're walking around. They came back to life. That would be a little incredible for me. But here, they understand that language. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, he was chosen before the creation of the world. That's incredible itself. You mean to tell me that this individual that you said was dead was here long before the creation of the world? What have you been drinking or smoking? And you expect me to believe that? That's Hollywood. That's not holy. But that's exactly what these people understood. That one died, and we speak that same language today. That is our hope. Because Christ died for our sins, we have hope of an eternal life. And he was chosen before the the creation of the world. God said, let there be light. And I think Jesus Christ went to work. And he said, let us form man. I think Jesus Christ went to work. And it says, in God who raised him from the dead, and I still, if I were walking around at that time in this culture, I'd have difficulty. Have you ever talked with someone about Jesus Christ? And have you ever told them that he lives? That he once was dead and he rose on the third day? And as a result, those that believe in him and live their lives for him, not for themselves, will actually have eternal life? Did you get a blank stare or an incredulous look? It happens all the time. People still do not believe. And sometimes we may have difficulty in believing that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And that through him we have eternal life. And then look at what God says here in verse 21. Through him, you believe in him. You believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith. Now, we may have little. We may think we have no faith. But by the fact that we are in this building, that tells us we have faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't come into a building that we thought would collapse. Is that correct? We wouldn't sit on these chairs if we thought that chair would not hold us. We have a certain amount of faith, but what is our faith in? Is my faith only in me? Is my faith only in Hollywood? Is my faith only in what I can see, touch, feel, and smell? Or do I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and glorified him so that my faith is in him and my trust is in God, that if I am obedient to what he tells me, look at verse 22, I can be purified of my sin, not an in and of anything that I do, but it's in my faith that Christ has told me that from his blood, which we are going to participate here in a few minutes, made us clean. And if I continue to obey him, I am purified from that old way of life by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for not just myself. And I don't know about you. Sometimes I think that I may have some difficulty in loving myself. Have you ever thought of, I wonder why I keep on doing what I don't want to do? Let me give you an example. How many of us in here like soda? Anybody in here besides me like soda? Do you read all the health material and literature that says sweet soda drinks are not good? And when I go into McDonald's or something, guess what? I say, give me a big one. I continue to do what I know I shouldn't do. But look what it says here. You have purified yourself by obeying the truth. And a little later, we're going to look at just exactly what God tells us and who he tells us he is. And one of those things that he tells us is that he is truth. Look at verse 23. Do I believe this or not? For you have been born again. And I remember, if you know the story of Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus was a teacher of the law and he was well learned and he went to Jesus Christ and was like, what must I do to be saved? And I can imagine Nicodemus was something like me, 76 years old. I can imagine Jesus Christ saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus probably did what I can see myself doing. 76 years old, my mom's dead. How in the world am I going to be born again? If I didn't say it, that probably would be what would be going on in my mind. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He's not talking about physically being born, but being renewed and reborn in our minds and our thoughts and our attitudes. So no longer we're chasing that big soda, remember? That's no good for us. There are a lot of things out there like that. But God says, trust me, I'm truth. Obey what I tell you if you want to live a blessed life. You, Al, can be born again. You will be born again. You are born again. Not of perishable seed, not from man, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And he goes on, Peter, and explains this to us. God explains it through Peter. For all men are like grass. All man's seed is like grass. That's us. It's perishable. It's not doable. Cannot be sustained over eternity. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. I love plants. In our house, I love taking care of them. I love seeing them grow. And I have to remember, I don't make them grow. You know, I take care of them, give them water, little plant food, etc. God makes them grow. But guess what? Here God says that all men are like flowers. We're like plants. Guess what? Each and every one of those plants in my home are going to die. And so will I. But the word of God endures for a little while, is that what it says? For as long as I need it, or maybe until tomorrow, or maybe for the next generation or for the next century, but how long does it endure? He says forever. And I don't know about you, I cannot get my head around forever. That's without end. No beginning, no middle, no end. It is just forever. That's what the Word of God is. And he says, guess what? I am holy forever. And if you want to share in this holiness, you've got to be obedient to me and give up those large sodas. Now, I'm not saying you got to quit drinking sodas. But we've got to stick with the Bud Lights. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to stick with the purity of God that is not contaminated, that is not polluted, that doesn't just, it just isn't a form or something that we do or something that we think or something that we want to have aspirations for. It is, it becomes our being. We may not be perfect in that being, but we make every effort to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. God, I want this big, gulp. But I'm not going to do it because you tell me it's not good for me. You understand the analogy here? There are a lot of things that we walked away from when we said that Jesus Christ was Lord. And you might ask, well, do I need to be holy? Only God is holy. I'm never going to become holy. Yes, 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 yes. Let's take a look at a couple of things here. Only 2 points. What is holiness? Some biblical scholars believe that in one sense, holy and holiness is undefinable. I'm of that school of thought. I don't think you can define God. Only God can define God. And only God is holy. It's only through my association with him do I ever think that I can become holy. Words don't accurately define holiness. Just like words don't accurately define love. Now, how many of us in here have ever been in love? And there are so many flavors of love. You got lust, and we call it love. I'll climb the highest mountain for you. I'll walk the deepest sea for you. Feelings. Right? But can you get up and take care of the baby? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's your baby. Get up, girl. You understand what I'm saying? Love is more than just a feeling. Love is more than just simply words. Love is something more than I just desire. Love is a lifestyle. Love is a way of thinking, a way of being. Am I ever going to be perfect in this love? I don't think so, because I'm too selfish. I'm too prideful. My first thought is, what's in it for me? And I have to deny myself that. So words don't accurately define holiness. It doesn't accurately define love. It doesn't accurately define who God is. God cannot be defined by words. I'm not sure words can describe holiness. As one scholar puts it, it is referring to holiness. It is known only to those who yield themselves to God that they experience, that we experience holiness. The best definition of holiness may be faulty and imperfect. So, do I need holiness? Well, what does God tell me? And we're going to look at some scripture, and you don't have to turn to all of these. But we'll let God tell us what holiness is, okay? In my feeble mind, holiness is a transformational attitude that carries on and sustains us even when it's difficult. And you'll see that God is constantly telling us, be watchful, be prayerful, and persevere in being obedient to Him in order to be holy. First scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Brothers and sisters, that's us. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. I don't know about you. I don't like remembering what I was beforehand. It was ugly. Not many of you were wise, and I was one of those. And I thought I was pretty wise, but I was stupid. I did a lot of stupid stuff. You were not wise, not by my standards, he is saying. You were not even wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. How many of us in here are well connected? How many of us in here are born of nobility? Look what God says. Not many of you were influential. Not many were born of noble birth. But look what God did for us. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that no one can boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. You have become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness. Where do we get our righteousness from? It's only through God. Our holiness, only through God. And our redemption. Can you believe that? Those of us that were probably even called stupid. And growing up in the South as a little black boy, some said, he's not even human. The despised things of the world. And God says, I want you to be my son. That's so amazing to me. He took the weak things, the things that were despised. He took us and made us His crown jewels. Well, let's look at this one. 2 Corinthians 7:1. You don't have to turn there. But it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. And if I thought God was saying, you have to give up that big gulp, I'd give it up, but I don't see that he says that. It's not what we eat. And that's what was going on at this time. Some people were saying, if you eat this kind of meat, if you do, no. It's what we think, it's what we want, it's our desires and our wishes and our expectations, our attitudes. Well, look at Ephesians. Ephesians 4:23, 32. Be made new in the attitudes of our minds. That's how we are reborn. That's how we are purified. The places I used to go, the things I used to do, the things that I used to love. Now, I think, how in the world could you have been so stupid to do something like that? And it goes on and it says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and what? Holiness. That's amazing. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to your neighbor. And that can get to be very challenging. I don't want you parking your car in my driveway. And if you park it there again, I'm going to call the cops. Or I may come out with my baseball bat. But he says, I must speak truthfully with my neighbor. And I can play technocrat. Well, Lord, who's my neighbor? I'm convinced it's whomever you're engaged with. Not just the person that lives next door to me. And it goes on and it says, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So those of us that are in Christ, we've got to speak. We've got to be truthful. We've got to be in love with one another. We are of one body. I don't know anyone in here that will take a hammer and crush their finger. I think they call that masochism. You love pain. And I'm not one of those. In fact, I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. I hate pain. I'll do everything I can to avoid pain. And so what he says here, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building one another up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, Slander, and look at this, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do I need to be holy? These scriptures say unequivocally, yes! So, I come back to my original question. What is holiness? I'm convinced that holiness is just complete conformity in all things, great and small, according to God's will. Being of one mind with God in all the judgments of the mind, in all the feelings of the heart, in all the outrageous, in all the outgoings of life, totally in agreement and submission to God's will and his perception. And here's what makes God, some of the things that just makes God holy. God is good. You can just write this one down, Mark 10, 18. There's none good except God. Life, God is life. Genesis 2, the Lord formed man and breathed into his nostrils life. God is light. 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. God is love. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God. God is love. God is righteousness. There is no one righteous, not even one. Corinthians 5, 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God is holy. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Leviticus 11, 44. Holiness. God is holy. Hebrews 12, 14. And without holiness, no one will see God. And to God be the glory, let's live the examples that he has given us. Thank you.